All right, man, here we go.
Here we go.
And you're, since we last recorded, another year older.
This is true. I just had a birthday, so it was very nice. I had some friends and family in, and I have to say, I have definitely indulged a little bit over the weekend.
Good for
and,
you, man.
No regrets, but I did have a bit of a rude awakening Monday morning getting back into the gym. I did Nancy. And very much felt like I was trying to outrun my weekend diet. So.
Did you eat something that wasn't organic?
You know, I can't tell a lie, Pat. Indeed,
might
I did.
Might have slipped it in there.
Yeah.
Well, you deserve it, man. It's the high, you know, the ups and downs and the good stuff in life. So, yeah. You
absolutely.
Know, yeah, mail in a great. Nancy every now and then, and it's worth
yep.
it.
Yep. No, and I wouldn't say I mailed it in. I was trying really hard, but it just felt a lot harder than it probably needed to.
Fair enough. Well, hopefully we can help somebody out here today on the program. So we've got somebody who wrote in. I don't know their name because it was just like tagged Instagram handle or whatnot. But she says, love the show. My question is this. I'm a 62-year-old woman who rose on a team April through October 5 times per week. So that's 6 months, by the way, 5 times per week. During the winter and spring, I do CrossFit. When I can, and the heat isn't awful, I'll try to do CrossFit in the summer. My rowing coach says to increase my ERG performance or scores, I need to do more cardio. Specifically, for example, 3 20-minute sessions on the ERG, with 3 minutes rest between each, so some zone two area. He doesn't think CrossFit, particularly weightlifting, will help. My CrossFit gym, you know, has the full complement of classes and weightlifting the whole nine yards. I'm a firm believer, but what's your opinion on whether high-intensity training and weightlifting will help with my endurance on the ERG or not?
Oh, I love this question.
It's, I do too, man.
For a lot of reasons, I love this question. Number one, to be 62 years old and actively rowing 5 days a week. I mean, hats off
Better
to
than
you.
Me.
That is awesome. And so cool that you can keep that up, you know, through some of the more mature years. I think a lot of people, unfortunately, kind of self-limit on some of those activities when they reach a certain age. And so very, very cool to hear about that. So I love that.
Yeah, early 60s, hopping in the air. You hop in yep. the air every now and then. Great. 5 times a week? You got it going on.
Yeah. And so I guess what's unclear to me is, okay, if you're doing rowing for the rowing season, are we talking about in a scull with other teammates rowing on the water, or is this more kind of strictly ERG? What was your interpretation of that,
well,
Pat?
Well, since it says my ERG scores, I tend to think yeah. it's more on the ERG side of the house, you know, and yeah. then during in the quote unquote off season, the 6 months of the year where she's not rowing 5 days a week, the coach is like, some high intensity training and CrossFit and weightlifting, that's not going to help your ERG score. Yeah. You actually need to hop back on that same machine and pull some more. That's my take on it. And I like this question for a lot of reasons, but I thought it was a great one to throw your way because I remember from an earlier podcast we did that you did train a rowing team for a bit.
That is true. This is back in the early 2000s. I would say, I can't remember exactly. I think it was 2007 to 2009, maybe a couple of seasons. Might have been a little longer than that. I worked with the Marin Rowing Association and their youth teams. And we were responsible for their dry land training. This was the old San Francisco CrossFit days. So Kelly Starrett and myself went up there a few times a week and worked with the youth teams. And it was really interesting in the sense that we, you know, almost 20 years ago now, came up against the same attitude where you had kids that were in the boat all day, every day in season. And then when they were out of the boat, they were doing what they used to call 30-30-30, which was basically 30 minutes on a stationary bike, 30 minutes running, and then 30 minutes on the ERG in one 90-minute session. And that was kind of supplemental to all of the work that they do on the ERG and on the water.
You just described a CrossFitter's nightmare session
right
there,
that absolutely. 90 minutes. Well, and one of the big takeaways for me, just observing that and watching that, was the race that they were doing was only, you know, less than 10 minutes. We're not talking about a really long endurance event, and yet endurance had such a premium in their training. Now, obviously, there's going to be some very large aerobic demands to be able to row well. There's no question about that. But it did seem to me that a lot of the training, through tradition or otherwise, was very much skewed towards a time domain that was never actually used on race day. And so that was a kind of a curious observation, number one. Now, I guess what's kind of interesting to me, if I'm framing it through the lens of this woman who's 62 and she's rowing for half of the year, effectively, I think very strongly that getting out of the boat and doing other things and not doing more of the same and not being a specialist intentionally is probably going to be the best thing that you could do for yourself, regardless of if it nets out the best score on the erg. And what I mean by that is, you know, at a certain point, I think you have to look at what is it that you want to do with your physicality. And if all you want to do is erg, and that's it, and that's the beginning and end of your physical expression, then okay, maybe I could buy the argument that more time beyond the 5 or 6 months that you're already spending on the erg is worthwhile. But if you are of that mindset where you're in your 60s and your physicality needs to serve you beyond those 5 or 6 months and beyond the activity of erging a little bit more efficiently, I think you're going to be way better served to break out of that mold, particularly in the off season, and then come back to that kind of more static training when it's time to, you know, be in season. I think you're going to find that your physicality is way more well-rounded. I think it's going to open up the doors for other activities that you choose to do for longer. And in my opinion, it's essential, particularly as one gets a little bit further in their years, to continue pushing those boundaries out and not specify that I'm only going to train in a certain way. And again, that's, you know, I'm putting goals in somebody else's person here. I don't know what the goals of this individual are, but I would be willing to bet that they extend beyond just more efficiency on the erg.
Yes. And yes, I'm a big, you know, quality of life proponent. But let's say that they just want to smash the erg, right? Like, even if that's your goal, like, I just want to be better on the ergs, like, well, that's already all you're doing 5 times a week, 6 months out of the year. And when I first read this question, I feel like sometimes we live in a bubble, right? If this is what we do all the time for our full-time occupation, we're totally immersed in it. You hear something which you're like, it's, to me anyway, the answer is so obvious. I'm like, this is a fake question. You didn't really, this is not true. Or it's like you said, I expect you to say, this was something I encountered 20 years ago because the strength and conditioning community just maybe didn't understand mixed modality training, high intensity, the benefit of interplay of the, you know, this just didn't get it. And I'm like, yeah, okay, I gotcha. But now in 2023, the question's sent and it gives me a pause of like, there is still, it's such a big fitness, strength and conditioning world that there are plenty of people that potentially, you know, have been in their world and not exposed to some of the benefits of what we talk about on a regular basis. I mean, so what leapt out to me on this is, A, that I feel like it shouldn't even be a question. Like it's the benefit and the potential I feel that this woman or anyone in a similar situation to her has yet to unlock if they're not exposing themselves to this whole host of other movements and time domains and variants and mixing them all together deliberately in a beautiful pattern. Like, holy cow, you have so much road ahead of you. It's unbelievable. And you know, when she says weightlifting, you know, I don't know if that's the two words crammed together for the sport of weightlifting and just the Olympic lifts, or is it weightlifting? Like, we're lifting weights and doing things like that. But regardless of which it is, it's borderline unimaginable to me if a coach understood what something like the back squat does to the human body, or the deadlift, or the power clean, or whatever it happens to be, from midline to pulling power to explosiveness to posterior chain, I mean, to the whole nine yards, to, you know, your bone density, and says, you know what, that's of no value to somebody on the erg. Like, I don't even, it's a, you can't support that argument in any way, shape, or form. And wherever this woman is, you know, and we're not saying let your erg training just go and you never touch it. Like, you're maintaining it, but wherever your deadlift or back squat or clean is, if you give me this 6 months in the off season and we add 25 pounds to that deadlift or whatever it happens to be, there's no situation in which I can imagine that that is not a windfall of benefit to you once you hop back on the erg. I can't even imagine a situation where it's not just it's just a huge win.
Yeah, and I guess that's what I was driving at a little bit, was this idea where, you know, there's all these important physical qualities to train, and not any single tool is going to address all of them optimally. And it's a really good idea for that reason to get out and kind of spread your wings around other ways of approaching things. You know, like the erg is a fine tool for a lot of things. I mean, you could do a lot worse than just spending your life getting really good on that thing. You'd be in pretty great shape. Would you also be pretty limited in some other areas and movement patterns and, you know, physical qualities that probably be important? Yes, absolutely. And so there's no single tool that's like the be all and end all. And exactly like you said, you know, these other physical qualities are going to have a direct relationship to your erg prowess in ways that may not be super evident if all you think about in terms of your training philosophy is specificity. And that's the only thing that matters. You will be missing some things. And that was the other major observation from our time at the Marin Rowing Association, was that, look, they were a championship team when we started working with them. They were very, very good. We could not lay claim to, you know, any sort of, you know, comeback story. We didn't put them on the winning track. You know, they were already a
just
dominant team.
Just don't mess them up.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. And but one of the observations, again, that was like really powerful was, okay, you have these kids that are very dedicated. They're, you know, many of them kind of coming into their prime. They're super dedicated to what they're doing, super consistent. They're in the boat all the time. But because of that, you would find that the overuse injury, the rate of burnout was relatively high, because like this woman said, you know, from April to October, you're in the boat and that's pretty much all you're doing. So one of the things that we offered them that was hugely beneficial, even if it wasn't reflected on their times in the water, was the fact that we could keep more kids in the boat for longer in the season without getting sidelined. Mm-hmm. And I think that's true for any activity that has a very repetitive motor pattern, is that it's, you know, it's like anything else. You've only got so many repetitions within that motor pattern before the system starts to wear out a little bit, and it needs a little bit more variety to help keep it robust, or at the very least, help it recover from that motor pattern that it's exposed to so regularly. And that, to me, is one of the biggest benefits that, you know, CrossFit as a cross-training method can offer. Is, okay, let's break you out of this pattern. Let's strengthen some areas that won't be strengthened by this repetitive motion. Let's make you overall a little bit more robust, and therefore you can return for these longer periods of time into that pattern and generally be okay on the other end. Just to finish the thought through, you know, okay, 62 now, but what about 5 years from now, 10 years from now? Mm-hmm. How long do you want to continue this rowing in the season pattern? You know, if that's something that's important to do long term, I think it's even more important in the off season to break away from that pattern so that it doesn't become an overuse problem waiting to happen.
Yes. And like we said, we're not talking about this woman in the off season. Maybe the fear of her coach is you're going to become, you know, a weightlifter, ever get your breathing rate up in any way, shape, or form. Right. You come back to me 6 months later, I'm like, what happened? Like,
having trouble getting up the stairs.
You know? You've got nothing, you know, you've got no lungs whatsoever. Yeah. So I, you know, if that's it, I can see it. But I think the incredible benefit of, like we always say, it's strength and conditioning, right? It's not one, it's not the other. It's like when we did a few weeks back, the show with Chris Henshaw, and he was, you know, his world's endurance athletes, you know, so, you know, specifically runners, but I can't see why this wouldn't translate to somebody on the rower as well, where obviously they're doing the classic running protocols that have existed for decades. But he's like, what a lot of these athletes don't understand with the benefits of strength training is that a lot of times later on in the race, whatever it happens to be, that your posture just starts to deteriorate, mm-hmm. and your positions break down because you're not physically strong, you know, in comparison to a weightlifter, so to speak, you know. And if we can strengthen the athlete while keeping them proficient at whatever their sport happens to be, and then longer into the race, they're maintaining solid positions, postures, and technique, that's going to have a direct transference in your ability to perform better. And I can't see how on something like the erg, which is so technique dependent, I mean, talk about you need strength and conditioning and technique. And if you can hit your positions beautifully for longer, I don't see how that's not going to transfer into more, you know, victorious athletes.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Yeah. So I guess to sum it up, I am very pro cross training. and I don't think that's
I can't think of a con.
Yeah, I don't think that it's going to be just more of the same that's going to necessarily result in the best efficiency on the erg, especially if, like, you know, we take this at face value. 5 times a week is not an insignificant amount of training mm-hmm. on one modality. I mean, that's pretty significant no matter what you're doing. So to me, I think that if it's not being handled within that time frame, I would start looking at the program design within that. And that's kind of something else that jumped out at me. It's like, all right, if the expectation is I'm doing anything 5 days a week, and the instructor says, okay, but to really do it well, you're going to have to do this plus a bunch of extra homework on top of it. Mm-hmm. One of the first questions I'm going to have is like, well, why are we doing this 5 days a week then? What is the benefit here if I still have to do more on top of this? That's a pretty extreme endeavor that would require that much focus on a weekly basis, especially if you're not talking about somebody who's, you know, winning Olympic medals and putting food on the dinner table, so to speak, with their winnings. That's a pretty heavy duty commitment.
You know, what's funny, sidebar, but somewhat related. So my wife trains a couple people in our garage a few times a week, a mom and her daughter. And her daughter is of college age, just went off to her freshman year in college. And we joked previous to her going, because she's been, you know, training in the garage for a while. She's getting fit, fast, explosive, strong. And she's a little bit on the taller side too. And Emma's like, careful, you're going to show up to school and someone's going to try to put you on a rowing team, right?
Yeah. Or volleyball.
Lo and behold, precisely what happened. So like the rowing team approached her and they're like, hey, have you ever rowed? And so she got herself on the rowing team now. And we have seen when she comes to our garage, she continues to train every now and then with her mom. The training protocol that they have going on for the rowing team. And now, you know, I know the internet's a kind place, so I'm probably going to just receive all kinds of hate mail for this. You know, how dare Pat, who is never a competitive rower, not a rowing coach, critique rowing programming. But, you know,
how
that's what I do
you? For, how dare
that's
you?
What I do for them, right? I looked, you know, we saw what they had going on, and all I could think of was, you know, very similar to the question that we addressed today. I was like, I don't know how good this rowing team is at this school, but I feel like they're leaving so much on the table because it was so repetitive. And it was not broad. And there were so many incredible foundational beneficial movements like squats, cleans, and deads. They were just noticeably absent from the program. And I was like, is that, you know, is it somewhere else? I don't know. And she's like, no, we don't do anything like that. And I was like, holy cow. I don't know how good you are, but there's money in the bank that no one's cashing in on. And so I think adding these things to this one's program will be nothing but a good thing. So that's my closing thoughts right there.
Yeah. Yep. Couldn't agree more. I think it's worth it. And again, to me, it really just comes down to answering the question, like, what do you want to do with your physicality? And if the answer is all I want to do is row, well, there's your answer. Mm-hmm. But reading between the lines, I don't think somebody engages with CrossFit half of the year and only wants to do one expression of their fitness. So if that is the case, that you're looking for a little bit more, you want this kind of robust physicality, then absolutely, I don't think there's anything wrong with stepping away from the erg seasonally, knowing that you're going to get that 5-day-a-week dose for half of the year. That's pretty significant.
Amen. Well, I hope that helped answer the question. Now, hopefully this knowledge translates to other people in other domains, because I think there is a lot of carryover there. If you haven't already, check out the cycles that we offer through Varied Not Random. Go to variednotrandom.com. They're all listed there. Pretty proud of them. They're pretty darn cool. Get your first pull-up, handstand walk. There's barbell stuff. There's the 1.5-mile run program with Henshaw. So check them all out. And as always, if you have thoughts on this topic or for another topic, post them in the comments in the show. Send them to Varied Not Random on Instagram. Find where Boz lives, knocks on his door, and, get a way to get the information in there. So as always, for Adrian Bosman, I'm Pat Sherwood, and we will see you next time.